Well, good morning, everyone. It is definitely good to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord today. It is a great way to start out the New Year's, don't you agree? Yeah, that's right, being in the house of the Lord. I had a good day even yesterday, just as I was finishing up the lesson, just in preparation for this. So I will warn you, if for some reason I stop for a few moments and I take a breath, it could be that I'm short of breath, but it could be dramatic pause. I might be getting ready to say something really important, okay? So just be aware. But since getting out of the hospital and getting back to work, many of you have already had COVID and had the respiratory issues and those types of things that are going on, so I'm still into some recuperation. So sometimes I just get a little bit winded, but we'll see. I'm just praying that the Lord sustains through this. Last week, Josh was referring back to Genesis chapter 26 when he was talking about the wells being filled in, that the Philistines filled in the wells of Abraham, so Isaac didn't have access to those. And so we were just talking about that from not just the physical, but from the spiritual standpoint of those wells being filled in. But if you, anybody ever drawn water from a well? Yeah. So you all have drawn water from wells before. I used to have a family, I used to go over and draw water from a well, and ours wasn't like the old bucket and stuff, but it was a big cylinder. Did you all use that, or was it a bucket of buckets that you pulled water up from? Yours was a bucket? Yeah, yours was buckets? Yeah, ours was a big cylinder, and you lowered it in there, and you could fill up, and you pull it back up there and hit a little handle on it, and you release the water, you know, and filled those up and took all of that in the house. But when that water, especially in the desert, it's life-sustaining, all right? It is life-sustaining. And when you fill those things up and you can't get to that, you've cut off life. So we talked about that, you know, those types of things that filled up those wells, and how we have things, and we used it from a spiritual standpoint of how things we get filled up, and we started naming off of those things. A lot of times it's work, a lot of times it's busyness. We used, what was some of the other ones? Apathy. Just different things that in a Christian walk that it doesn't separate the Christian from God in the sense of them being justified, but in that relationship, they're not walking close to the Lord, and we all have those. I am guilty of those things. And I want to circle back to this right here, because I want to come back to this and talk about that just a little bit, because I think there's something that is a heart issue that I hadn't thought about until I left here after that lesson, and I got to thinking about that lesson. And then Pastor Steve, during his reading of Scripture last Sunday morning, he was reading in from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that's kind of the verse I want to go from, and I want to talk about that a little bit today, because as he was reading through that, you ever do that when he's reading through, or you're reading through Scripture and just something just jumps out at you? And that's the way this was for me. And part of that is because of just my mindset, I believe. Part of it was from being in the hospital. Part of it was being from the point of, I think it is even as Paul said, was nigh to death. I mean, you're there at that point in time, and you really focus on eternal things at that point in time. Everything else just kind of falls away at that point, and you really get focused. A book that I had read, I'm glad that I read it. Well, I don't know if I'm glad I read it after I came out of the hospital, because I told Pastor Steve, I said, if I had read it, I would have probably been saying, Lord, just go ahead and take me. Just go ahead and take me, because it is such a good book. But it was written in the 1600s by a Puritan named Richard Baxter. And Richard Baxter wrote this book, and it's called The Saint's Everlasting Rest. And he wrote that when he thought he was on his deathbed, and how he could think so comprehensively while he's almost dying is beyond me. I have to slowly read it to be able to even comprehend it, because it's deep. There's a lot of depth to it, a scriptural depth to it. But he's talking about the saints' everlasting rest. And so as Pastor Steve was reading through this last week, I'm going to get to it here. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians, let's go back to it here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here we go. And it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So I want to focus on that word rest. And you've heard messages on the word rest before. Well, the background to this, when we get into 2 Thessalonians, is I believe Paul was sending a follow-up letter to the Thessalonians because they had a little bit of a misunderstanding from 1 Thessalonians when he had sent them the first letter. Because when he sent them the first letter, in chapters 4 and 5, he was discussing the return of Jesus Christ. Well, I believe, from my understanding of this, is that they took it as the Lord was coming back right then. Matter of fact, he was kind of chastising them, some of them, because they had even stopped working at that point in time, because I think they thought the Lord's return was imminent. It was right then. He was coming back. So he was going to make sure to clarify that they should continue to work and they should continue to do those types of things. As a matter of fact, if they didn't work, he shouldn't even have anything to do with them. So he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us in the Lord. Here's where I think the clarification, or he was referring back to this. If you look at chapter 2, verse 1, let's go down just for the first couple of verses. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So he was saying, you don't have to listen to everyone else. You continue to keep working. This was the whole point of his letter. You continue to keep working for the Lord. The Lord is coming back. But you continue to keep working, and when he comes back, don't be worried about it. Don't be thinking about it in that sense of it, that you have to be worried about it that way. So he's just kind of calming them down there, putting the brakes on a little bit. But this church had also, not only with that, but they were also going through some persecution, and we see that in the first part of the letter. And this is extremely important. Start with me in verse 4. "So that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure." So we know they were in tribulation. "Which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us." Now, that word rest, I will probably get it wrong in the Greek, but it's anesis. Steve would be able to pronounce that. But that word means relaxation, or rest. The ESV translates it relief, and that is correct as well. All of those words could apply to this. And I want you to kind of think this. He's talking to them about the tribulation that they are in, and he says it's going to be a good thing when the Lord comes back, and he's going to take care of those who are persecuting you. The Lord's going to take care of that. And he says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." This rest he's talking about, which I think the ESV gets right on that, is relief. It's instantaneous relief that takes place upon the return of Christ. And it also is instantaneous relief that happens when someone passes away and they are in the presence of the Lord. So for the repentant person, those who put their faith and trust in Christ, it is immediate relief. I likened it to this, and I always wondered, when would the Lord use this? Because he always uses our experiences some way, somehow. But have you ever had an abscess before? A tooth abscess? Anybody ever had one of those before? Had a tooth? I'm a serious, serious toothache. I can remember being on a camping trip, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, my tooth started to hurt. And it started to hurt really bad. And my head started to throb. And it just was not, it felt like your whole head is coming off, your neck, your everything hurt. Matter of fact, I left from the campsite and went out in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, to the store to see if I could find some, you know, Tylenol, Ambisol, whatever it is that you rub on there, baby stuff, anything, just to try to relieve some of that pain. Well, it was on the weekend, of course, and there were no dentists that were available or open, and it hurt so bad. For another day, it hurt, and it feels like the top of your head is coming off, and you can't concentrate, you can't think. It's just this acute pain. And I went to the dentist, and they put me in the room, and I was up pacing back and forth. The dentist came in, because I couldn't even sit down. I was hurting so bad. The dentist came in, and he goes, "Oh, we got a walker." Because he knew he had seen this before. It's hurting so bad that you are just moving around and you can't get out of this pain. And he said, "Have a seat." And I'm explaining to him, "Oh, my head's coming off and everything." He's And he's over here pulling something up in a syringe. He goes, "Lay back a minute." I don't ever remember feeling the needle go into my cheek or to my gum or wherever he put it. But instantly, that pain was just gone. Matter of fact, I said to him, "Thank God for people who study anesthesia. I am so thankful for that." That one injection, or multiple injections, maybe he gave me, but it was instant pain relief. It went away as if it had never been there. And then my tooth was abscessed. It was real bad, so they went ahead and pulled it, and then for sure it went away. But it was instant. It's hard for us to imagine that all of the tribulation that we go through in life, that the heartaches that we go through. I hear of sister-in-laws in hospice, and people with cancer, and people that we know recently who have passed away, some with COVID, some for other reasons. They passed away at young ages. The families are going through hurt. We've all gone through that in the last 7, 8, 9 years or so, where we've had multiple deaths in our family that were sudden, and they've left huge holes in our family. But one day he's going to take it instantly. All that pain, all that suffering, all that tribulation, everything is going to be gone. And so that's what Paul is saying there. Just and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Because when we see him coming, when you go home to be with him, it's instantly going to be over. And it's going to be better than anything that you could ever imagine. But it is immediate relief. So that's one type of rest. I want us also to look over at Matthew 11:28. You know this passage. So you know the little book that we've been reading? Does anyone remember the little book that we've been reading through here at church? It's Gentle and Lowly. I'm on my third reading of that book. I think it is wonderful. It is such a good picture of the heart of Jesus Christ and the heart of God towards us, that he is, for those who are saved, that he is constantly there with us. He is, I was talking to Jana last night, and we were talking about the prodigal son. And, you know, you don't see the prodigal son running to the father. What do you see? The father running to the prodigal son. When he sees him approaching, he's ready, and he's ready to go to him. That's our Lord. He's right there with us. We tend to sin and to walk away from Him and to remove ourselves from Him, or we try to, but He is there for us, and He is there for our rest as well. So we look at Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now this word, I believe it's pronounced anapao, is a different type of rest. It is a refreshing rest. It is a rest that we can have because of who Jesus is and that He's with us. And because of what we know about Him through Scripture, that Jesus knows, He knows our human nature because He took it on Himself. So He can relate to us. He's not some God in a faraway place. He's here with us, and we've been through. So He knows our nature. He knows our temptations. He knows our labor in living that we go through daily, because each of us has our own struggles every single day. He knows the physical and the emotional heaviness of living this life. He understands that. He sent a comforter to us with the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. He's always near us. And here is rest for me, is that He is always working out His sovereign, providential will in our life when we can't even see it. When we're going through a tough time, you can put your trust, your faith, and you can rest in the fact that He's in control of that situation. Now, for the person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't say that. And we even say in our minds, because I believe everyone that's in here are believers who have put their faith and their trust in the Lord, and many who have walked with the Lord for quite a few years now, you can look back and you can see how God providentially worked in placing you where you were at in your work, with your spouse, with your children, different situations that you've been in. You can see how He was sovereign over all of it and how providentially He worked through it. And when you have seen that and you know that that's how He's going to handle the rest of your life, you can rest. He's in control. Are terrible things going to happen? Possibly. They could. He's in control of that. Are great things going to happen? Absolutely great things are going to happen. Wonderful things are going to happen. He's in control of that as well. But he's in control of all of it. But that is a different type of rest. One, we see it's going to be immediate, and all of this is going to come to an end, and we're going to have relief. And the other one is one that we rest in all the time. And I'm sure you will rest in that as well. And he says, let's see, verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know if you all probably thought of this. I just only because I heard someone say this, and I kind of heard, you know, when I always think of, when you think of a yoke, you're always thinking of, you know, cattle or oxen, and taking that yoke and putting it on that, and this team that's actually out there pulling. But the Lord's not that way. He is the one who has worn the yoke. He's the one that's pulling the plow. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I don't know if you guys, anybody in here has ever, I'm sure you have, moved furniture before. But have you moved furniture where somebody else is pulling more weight than you are? It's a pretty nice thing. when they're doing all the lifting. Jesus does that for us in that his burden, not only is it light, he carries it. I mean, do we have our own trials and bear our own crosses? We do to a certain extent, but his yoke is easy and light because he carries all of the weight, especially the weight of sin. He carries that for us. And because of all of that, we can rest in that. It's a peaceful thing to rest in that. Okay? The next one I want to go to is in Hebrews 4:9. You all know this one well. These remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. If you go back and look at the previous part of that chapter and the chapter before that, you'll see that that the writer is talking about the children of Israel, and that Joshua, if you go down and you look at verse 8, it says, or if Jesus had given them rest, the interpretation on that Jesus is actually Joshua, because he is talking about the children of Israel and how Joshua led those over to the promised land. And even though it was the promised land, we know that that promised land that was given then was not the full place of rest, was it? I mean, they went through some issues. They went through some trials. They had some battles to fight. It wasn't the place of full rest. But then in verse 9 it says, but there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Well, this rest was a different rest. This rest is Sabbatismos. There you go. Sabbatismos. Thank you. Sabbatism. This is the repose of Christianity. This is the full rest of the Christian. This is heaven's rest. This is what we could consider home. That we have arrived home. That's the rest that we're going to, is when we can arrive home, and our rest is eternal at that point. Now, last few minutes here that I want to take up, I'm going back to what we talked about with the wells and the heart issue and some of those things from last week, from the lesson that Josh had taught last week. I think, for me, I did not spend enough time with my children and my family talking about heaven. I don't think I have spent enough time focused on eternal reward. I don't think that I've spent enough time. We've talked about Christ being our resting place, and Christ is, I mean, he is the one who secured our salvation. He is our God. He is who we follow. Our sanctification has become more like him. But I don't think we focus enough on that. And I think for us today, it's really hard, shouldn't be, but it's really hard for us to focus on that, because even though we have struggles, our struggles are few. I mean, we live in a very prosperous time. We have all the conveniences that anyone could ever want. When we talk about a city of eternal light where there is no darkness, we can't imagine that, because we can go flip a light on and it can stay on 24 hours a day. Our world is so full of shiny objects that we can't even focus on Christ the way we should. We can't imagine, we should be able to, but we can't. We can't imagine a place that is going to be awaiting for us when there is a new heaven and a new earth where this is a shadow of that, in the sense that if there is a tree, there will be a tree that is so beautiful that it will be breathtaking that we can't even imagine it. That a river or waters would be so breathtaking that you can't even imagine. That the most wonderful thing you've ever seen can't compare to what you will see there. That the wonders of that land you can't compare. You can't compare anything to the wonders that you will see there. You can't compare the animals, the creation, to anything that we even have today. It's hard to even imagine that. So I think we have misplaced focus. I think we've got misplaced desires because we're not even thinking to that point. I might have said this before, but I was at a conference one time, and there was a gentleman there who ran a drug rehabilitation facility. And he said that when they went through the rehabilitation, he would always do interviews, post-interviews, and after they were clean and thinking straight and all this. And over again, the same answers came back. He said, you know, you took these drugs to the point that EMS had to be called. You had to be resuscitated. You were brought back. And as soon as you came to yourself, you wanted to go get more drugs. Why? He said the resounding comment over and over again was, peace, man. And he said, peace. It's such a euphoric feeling that everything in the world just melts away when you're high, and you just feel so good that you just continually want that feeling over and over again. And you want that feeling over and over again, even to your demise. You'll let your body decay, you'll let your teeth fall out, you'll die eventually. Chasing after, what they call chasing after the dragon, you are constantly chasing that feeling. What are they chasing? They're chasing heaven is what they're chasing. They're chasing an emptiness that they can't fulfill here. We do it in many different ways, and it through any vices that we might have. We try to attain heaven, some form of it here, that we can't do. And we don't put enough focus sometimes, I think, on the fact that when you get to heaven, the feeling that you will have in heaven will be better than anything that you could ever get off drugs. You want a feeling of wonder, perfection, love, peace, rest. It's going to be immediate as soon as we come into the presence of the Lord. And it'll be something that you have never felt before in your life so good. And it will last eternally. We can't even fathom eternity. But it will last forever. Do we put enough emphasis on that? I don't think that I have. We're taught to number our days, because they're coming to an end at some point here. Either Lord's returning or we're all going to die. It's coming to end. We're taught to number our days. But that's where our focus is supposed to be. It's supposed to be on the Lord. It's on evangelism, sharing that with them. And death comes, and death, there's a sadness, and we see when Jesus wept over Lazarus. We see that there are other places where there were times of mourning that took place. It did. But in the same sense, it is a joyous thing to be with the Lord. There is a peace that truly passes all understanding, when we know that someone, a repentant person, dies and they are with the Lord. And we can know that immediately that all of their tribulation, the trials they went through, are over, and that they have that rest at that point in time. In that book that I was talking about, that Richard Baxter wrote, the preface to that was a gentleman named Benjamin Fawcett, and he wrote it December 25th, 1758. And this book was written in the 1600s, but this was a reprinting, and he said, "The worth of everlasting rest is not felt because 1,000 trifles are preferred before it." Think about that. That the worth of everlasting rest, it's not felt by us because 1,000 trifles are preferred before it. Every little thing, every little shiny thing, every little Facebook, Instagram, television, baseball game, football games, basketball games, anything that you can keep your mind occupied with takes the place of us thinking about that eternal rest that we're going to have in Christ. And I just don't think that we can't even behold it here. Okay. Anybody have anything to say? I'm sorry, I didn't stop. I'm not like Josh. I didn't question or anything as we went through this. That is a good study too. I think that you're talking about an intermediate heaven, that's where we're instantly, that we are with the Lord. I think that you can study out through Scripture that because we see it in different places, and especially like Steve is teaching through Revelation, that you have a body. Now, it's not your body. It's not a resurrected body that you have at that point in time, but there is a body that you have at that point in time. And that is awaiting the consummation of all things throughout history that's coming about. But then Scripture is clear that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that all the stars you see are going to be wiped off. All of the earth, I believe, is going to be burned up, and there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth that is created. And it is created where we are going to dwell with God, and God is going to dwell with us. This partition that we've had between us, that Christ had to satisfy, will be there no longer. I mean, because when you think about a new heaven and a new earth, just think with Eden, that was perfect. That was what God had planned. Death is not natural. It's not a natural thing. We think, oh, well, death is just a natural. Death isn't natural at all. Life is natural. Death is a consequence of sin. So we're going to, heaven and earth that is going to be recreated is exactly what God has planned, so that He can dwell with us in perfection. Everything will be perfection. I believe personally I think that there will be all of those beautiful things. I think there will be art. I think there will be recreation. I think this is a glimpse. This is a sinful glimpse of what God has in store for us. I think there will be commerce. I think it will be, but it'll be imperfection. It will be, you will think about people the right way. Your heart's motives will be right. Now, this is my personal opinion, and I think you can bear that out from Scripture. But it is, but that's where I think we've got our, I don't know how to exactly explain it. I think that's where, like with our young people, unless we explain that to them and they understand what this great place is, they can't see that. And they put their hope in things here instead of the fact that this is going to be a real, tangible place that is not going to be just floating around with wings on and playing harps and stuff all the time. You're going to be living. You're going to be living, and you're going to be living in a righteous way where your neighbor's going to be righteous and you're going to be righteous and you're all going to have communion with God. And it's going to be the most wonderful thing that can even be imagined. God gave us an imagination for a reason, so we can expand on that. I mean, He's a creator. Look at all the wonders in the world. And, yeah, sorry. Just give me. Sure. I do understand. I do understand. And that's where we want to, and even for us, because everything's misplaced. It is all messed up. This world is messed up. Our heart is messed up. Our desires are messed up. Our motives are messed up. You can question, just when you really sit down and get quiet and you start looking at what were my motives and doing the things I did earlier today, a lot of times you find out they were just self-centered motives. And we're not thinking ahead. I'm telling you, we like shiny objects. We can change our focus real fast. Yeah, as fast as listening to the elevator. Yeah. But that is a whole study and a subject right there, which is worth looking at. Yeah. Anything else? All right, let's just pray. Lord, we just come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the rest that you give us in salvation, the rest that we have because you walk with us, the eternal rest that we are going to be going to, Lord, where we will be with you for eternity. Lord, I pray that you allow us to dig into your word to learn more about these subjects, Lord. Reveal those to our hearts. And let us search those things out. We pray, Lord, for all of those today who are sick, the ones that are not able to be with us. We pray, Lord, for those who are battling just terrible illness at this point in time. I would ask that you would strengthen them. We pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts today for worship, that you prepare our hearts to sing unto you, that our focus would be upon you, Lord, that we would get our focus right, even for this year, that we would be wanting to live within your will and to serve you and to serve others that are around us. Pray for the message this morning, that you bless it. And the Holy Spirit has freedom to work through the hearts of each person that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.